man, woman. Okay?
Now, the message we're talking of this journey. So through the dua, we have come to the prophet. Then we have come to the imam. Now we're coming to ourselves because the message is coming down to us. Us who are human beings, who are, you know what is our title in the Quran? Hame kehte hain ashraful makhlukat, the crown of creation. Okay, do we deserve that title? The better than any other thing created by God. Are we justifying that title that God has given us? Why He has given us this title? Because He has given us a mind, alright? What are we doing? What is this mind supposed to do? Because He has given us one small problem with this. And that is making choices. You have to decide. That's why you have a mind. You are not a robot. Nobody has controlled you and says, right, when you're 5 years old, you're going to do this, or when you're 6 years old, no. You are going to decide with your mind what you're going to do. So, in order to know, you have to make choices. Now, how do you know that you're making a right choice or a wrong choice? Because we know that there is something in this world called shaitan. Yeah? We know that he can influence our mind. Now, in order that we don't make choices that he encourages us to make, we have to inform ourselves as to what is right and what is wrong first. So that when you come to the crossroads, you are not confused. Ke ye sahi hai ke wo sahi hai? Mujhe pata nahi. Wo to excuse hota hi nahi hai. Kyun? Ke sab, because morality and what is right and what is wrong, I think it doesn't come only through Jamaat Khana, it comes through anything and anywhere you go, you understand what is acceptable and what is acceptable. And in 73 he says, you have been told what you should do and what you should not do. So basically, have we heard? Because we are told lots of things, but are we listening? So if we have been told what is right and what is wrong, then we should not have difficulties in making choices. I have got a map here, Chairman Sahib. Maybe I can leave it with you, and if anybody would like a copy, it is on the concept of a man. Okay, now I'm going to take you through that. Now, man has come on this earth with a soul, okay? We agreed on that. We have got three levels. Now, because of the position of man being the supreme being or being the Ashraful Makhlukat, there is certain role given to us. And it's a dual role. Allah has said that you have two roles to play. One is to be my slave, Abd. Abd Allah. Allah ka gulam, slave of Allah. Which means that we worship Him, we pray to Him, we praise Him. The second role He has given us of being Khalifa. Khalifa is what? Is Allah's representative on earth. Be what God is. What did the first part of dua say? Emulate Him. Alhamdulillah, sustainer, Rahman, Rahim, kindness, gentleness. Emulate God. Be His Khalifa. So God has taken, He has given us birth, He has given us perfection through our bodies and minds, and no amount of scientific knowledge could produce a perfect human being like God has produced. Okay? So in order that we represent Him on earth, He's telling us that do to other people what I am doing for you. If I am protecting you, you protect somebody that you think needs protection. If I am giving you your daily bread, which you're asking me every day, then you give it to your brother whom you think has not got enough. Be my representative on earth. Then you are performing your role. So you see in Islam how important service is. How important to help others. If you look at any farman, you know how Hazrat Imam's first and most important thing he says is, be generous, be kind, brotherhood. Brotherhood, what is brotherhood to us? When did we ever stop to think that the person sitting next to me has that same light that I have of Allah? Because we have come from Him, He's also going to Him, I also. No, but I want to be richer than Him, I want to be bigger than Him, and I don't want Him to have as much as I. So either we take it from Him, or we work very hard to get better than Him. So how are we going to go through that brotherhood? When He says brotherhood, unity, charity, generosity. Those are basics of Islam, okay? Those are the essence. You understand there is a difference between essence and form. How we act out the faith, iman or dharam mein farak hai? It's a very subtle question. Iman is faith. I have faith, I have conviction. You may call dharam coming to Jamaat Khana and praying my three duas and doing my dua karavi and go back. So I bahut dharmi hu, main roz Jamaat Khana jata hu. Lekin mere mein iman hai, do I believe what I am doing? That is introspection. Because as we'll see later, when we come to Day of Judgment, that is the time we will be seen. Because humne jo action kiya, uska explanation leya jayega, zarur. You will be judged. No doubt. Third part of dua. La ilaha illallah al-hayyul qayyum. La ilaha illallah al-malikul haqqul mubin. La ilaha illallah malik ke yawmiddin. Kaun se din ka malik? Yawmiddin. Alright. So, judge. What does a judge do? He listens. What have you done? Somebody else says he did this, he did this. Judge will decide. So, we have to see. We don't fear God because God is all kind, all loving and all forgiving. But the thing is that He has given us a mind. He has given us choices and He has given us information. What to do. Be my slave and be my Khalifa. Simple as that. If I am being that and I am doing that, and don't forget the niyat of it, I intend always to do it. I may not do it. I am not perfect. Only Allah is perfect. But I am still being and doing what He said. As far as possible, I want to stay on this Sirat al-Mustaqim. Even Sultan Mama Shah has said it. You see, He says, I am always with you. But are we conscious? Are we aware that He is with us? Because if we bring the devil in us, then the Imam, we're forgetting He is with us. So what Islam is most important, it says, is that service to your brothers and sisters, service to others is equal to being angelic. You've already become doing your role as Khalifa. Now, so after we've been told that we have to be Abd and Khalifa, we have to make choices, then He sends us messengers or He sends us signs through Imam and through the Prophets. Keep on guiding us, guiding us, guiding us. Now we're making a split here in this map. Okay? Now, either we accept the guidance, which means we are in the Sirat al-Mustaqim, or we've fallen off. We haven't accepted the guidance. Okay? We have rejected. Basically, if we haven't accepted, we have rejected. It may not be an active decision on your part to reject, but if you haven't accepted, the other choices you've rejected. I don't want to follow this format. You can't be halfway house here. Either you follow it or you are a non-follower. It's as clear as that. Okay, so if we stay on the accept side, okay, then we talked of taqwa. Okay, then it helps us if we are all the time conscious that we want to follow the farman, Allah is always around. So every action, Islam is a way of life. It's not 3 minutes or half an hour in Jamaat Khana or half 1 hour in the parodia, no. Islam is every moment. It is interacting with your in your business, in your school life, in your home life, in everywhere. So Islam is a way of life. Now, so what we are doing, the taqwa. Another thing is we have to say shukr because we have got guides, and we do. We say thank you to Him for everything that happens to us. Even on Kushali days, we have a shukran lillah, alhamdulillah, tasbih. So luckily we have structures in place that help us to stay on the path of the Sirat al-Mustaqim. But as long as we take all this, internalize, act according to what we are internalizing, then we will hopefully, and you know, Allah is all forgiving. But if we are always on the rejection side, then you see how we can fall. If we are rejecting, basically that means we're not taking imams and prophets' word, means we are kafir. We don't believe. If we reject it, we are non-believers. And this is a very serious word. It's followed by the word shirk. I'll just take a sip of water. Shirk is the one sin in Islam which is unforgivable. Otherwise, there is nothing that God does not forgive. Shirk is equating anything with God. There is no God but Allah, we say, yeah? La ilaha illallah. There is no God but Allah. But because we are rejecting God and His messages and His messengers, we are not accepting, we are not farmanbardari, we are not behaving in taqwa, we are not thanking and we are not accepting the grace of God, we are rejecting. Now that means we are putting somebody else in the place of God. Are we putting these days money in the place of God? That is shirk, because you are equating God, which is supreme, which is most important to us, God or money, God or something else or somebody else. So it is actually as serious as committing shirk if you are rejecting. Alright, then comes, we go back to the other side where we say we are accepting, okay, we are saying thank you, but we are also saying sorry because we go wrong. So every day when we say our dua, forgive us our sin, Allahumma maghfir lana dhunubana warzuqna, every day we are asking forgiveness of sins because we are accepting Imam, we are accepting his word, and we are saying thank you, we are saying sorry. But if we are rejecting, then it's like we are having a false sense of self-sufficiency. I don't need God, I don't need His guidance, I don't need to follow what Imam or Prophet says, because I know better. Okay? So, that is not possible. So, it looks like it's a false sense of self-importance. Okay? Even when we talk of taking praise or taking or showing that, you know, I'm needing or wanting to be supreme or better or bigger, we're automatically saying that I am sufficient. I don't need any other higher being to complement me. I don't need something that is going to make me complete, because I am complete. And that is pride and that is ego. Okay, we may not stand up and say it, but our actions may say it. Okay? So, in that false sense of self-sufficiency, we're doing three things. We are being ignorant. You know, before the time of Islam, it was called the period of Jahiliyyah. Jahiliyyah ka jo time tha, wo Nabi se pehle jo tha, wo jab Arabia mein sab, they were idol worshipping and everything, that was called the period of Jahiliyyah. When there was nobody took responsibility of anything that's going to happen afterwards. Abhi jo karna hai kar lo, you know, who says that dusri life hai nahi hai, humko day of judgment hai nahi hai, because Islam had not come. So we're talking of doing jahil, being completely heedless. Okay? And ghaflat. We are ignoring. We are in an area of ignorance. So, and the last of all is, I think is quite true, which is injustice to ourselves. Apne aap par hum zulm karte hai, humare roop pe zulm karte hai, if we reject the Imam and the guides, because then we can't move on this journey. We cannot, our soul cannot be purified, and it has to be pure before it goes back to God. Now we have to look at what are the signs and what we get in our lives, because a lot of the times we feel, ki aisa kyun hua mujhe? Main to itna, I always helping people and I'm always so good, why did this happen to me? So it's like we're blaming somebody, sitting out there with a gun or something to say, right, it's your turn now, you're going to get this. No. What we need to do is introspection. What can I learn from this? The Sufi way of thinking, and Imam Sultan Muhammad Shah said, tame Sufism, tame, you understand what is Sufism. Ismailism is very close to Sufism. It's pure spirituality. Start introspecting inside yourself. What lesson can I learn? Anything that happens to you in life is happening for a reason. It's happening for the better. So rather than spend all our life feeling sorry for ourselves, ki aisa kyun hua, say, main isme se kya seekh sakta hun? Because if I learn a lesson, then I go forward in life. Otherwise, I keep getting lessons at the same level till God says, right, he's got to learn, because I love him too much. He has to come back to me pure. He has to look at himself and say, what am I doing, not what somebody else is doing to me. Even though it could be, of course, there are injustices in the world, but injustices, right and wrong has always been there. But the personal thing to do is to be introspective, to understand and try to go within us and see what lessons can we learn from this and how fast can we move back onto this purification. Because there will be anger if somebody has done something, there will be hatred. You can carry this to the grave. Your children can carry the vendetta and the anger across. So of course injustices happen, and there is a time when there has to be, you have to be able to, right has to win from wrong, because evil can, you know, we know the story of the Pandavas and the Kauravas. Yeah, there has been good and bad always in the world. But there has to be a time where you say, right, I need to move forward because my soul, I'm really getting stuck at this level. And I cannot, my soul cannot move forward because my body is full of anger and rage and all of that. So going back to the side where we are doing now, we said on the side where we've accepted, there is taqwa, there is shukr, and there is istighfar, which is repentance, to say sorry. And zikr. Alright, remember our role? Bring slave to Allah. So zikr and fikr. All the time being aware and praying. So his prayers and his grace, praying for his grace. Because we are incomplete, insan-e-kamil is only one. Okay, so all the time looking and turning to him to give the grace and the prayers, for prayers. And another thing is knowledge. Trying to understand, intellectualizing my faith, knowing what is prayers. What is my faith? What is my faith? What is it to be an Ismaili Muslim? Serving, amal, and of course, meditation, bandagi. So we are moving forward to one thing and one thing alone, which is understanding the truth. Where is the truth? What is the truth? The whole world wants to go towards every religion, you will say, this is the truth. Who has heard about Mansur al-Hallaj? Yeah. Now, what did he stand up and say? I am the truth. Okay. Now, actually, I have this in this Farman book, if I can find it. Imam Sultan Muhammad Shah has actually talked about Mansur al-Hallaj. Marked it. Okay, can't seem to find it now. He says that Mansoor ke upar itna zulm kare, kyunki usne bola ke main, I am the truth. Lekin wo jo truth hai, he arrived at understanding ke wo kya cheez hai. Ke isme, iske andar jo Allah ka jo light hai, it dawned on him that there is no difference between God and me. Now how many of us can stand up and say that with conviction? We know, we have been told ke Allah ka jo light hai hamare mein hai. Lekin we need to process ourselves to that extent, then we can stand up and say, I am the truth. So, you see, between knowing and experiencing. There is one, there is a ladder. The first thing is you have to have knowledge. Ainul, no, it's ilmul yakin. Try to get the knowledge of the truth. And then we go through the sight, through the dar, to understanding what is imam. Ainul yakin. Then you will come to the haqqul yakin, to the experiencing of the truth. Now similarly, we're talking of the other, when we talked of shariat, then we talked of tariqat, which is the faith. Then we talked of the truth, haqiqat. What is the final stage? It is marifat. It is experiencing what is the truth. And Imam Sultan Muhammad Shah says in this philosophy book that, you know, you can sit for bangi and you can sit for years and years and years. But eventually, unless tame bija manas ne haath, paav, aankh, haath, pag, aankh, na jo, na any roo jo ani tajweez karo, tyare tamne khabar parse. So first thing is to try to see another human being's soul, that it is equal to yours. Then you will experience what is Allah and your soul. But you cannot bypass other human beings and experience it with God alone. He's very clear on that. And so what he's saying is that when you see another human being, don't see his eyes and his hands and his legs and whatever, but and his clothes. See his soul. If your soul is able to see his soul, then you will be able to see yourself as the truth, because then you will see, connect yourself to God. But till you are not able to see that every other person next to you has that same light, it has come from same place, it is going back to the same place, it is brotherhood. Hazrat Imam puts it in very simple words, brotherhood. But till we don't see that, our journey of the soul is not possible. We cannot be separate from somebody, we cannot want to be better than somebody, because we are equal. These bodies don't matter. They are going to go. We are all equal at the soul, but we need to see that through thought, action and event. This is ethics. It is doing the right thing to somebody else. So, final thing, going back to the other side, when we are now, we're talking of a false sense of self. We are all on the path which is not the Sirat al-Mustaqim. So we have become the ones who in the first part has said, oh Allah, please guide us on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, not on the ones that have gone astray. So how easily we can go astray with our own pride and lack of following of farmans and lack of taqwa and lack of knowing. Did we know that our role on this world is to be his slave and to be his khalifa? We never knew that. Now that we know and we don't act it out, the responsibility becomes bigger. Now that we know we are Ashraful Makhlukat, we are the crown of creation, we have to be his slave and we have to be his khalifa at all times. Okay, there are times when we need as well. So give and take. If we have given, we should be happy to receive. We should never feel reluctant to receive, but always give. Because we know that, I mean, today the Maputo Farmans were read, but there was a part, I wish it was read, which very clearly, is it handy, Mugisai, the Maputo Farman? I think if I may be, if I remember right, he has said, and I have not heard him say in such clear terms, it would be really nice to quote it actually, that, you know, accumulation of wealth in Islam is not forbidden, because the Prophet himself was a trader, yeah? He was earning his own money. But there are two things that we need to do with wealth. A, to acquire it ethically. If we, like in Kenya, we would call it magendo. Alright? If it has been acquired by surreptitious means, that is haram in Islam. And we can say, haan, lekin humne daan karta hoon, usse main jawan khane mein dasoon dalta hoon. Okay, okay. But it has two conditions on collecting wealth. A, it has to be acquired ethically. And B, you have to understand the wealth is not yours alone. You are only holding it to share it. And I think in Maputo he has basically said, keep enough for yourself, keep enough for your children, and give the rest away. Not in so many words, but basically that. Yeah. But what we are doing is, nahi, ye bachche mein bachche ke bachche ke bachche ke liye imarate chadata hoon. And hum jab hi mayat mein baithte malak ka jeena bahut ajabari. Okay, so there is a lot of imbalance in our lives. We are being told these things, but we are not able to carry it through. But if we keep reminding ourselves, because we are limited, only insan e kamil, God, Imam is pure. Remind ourselves, these are the things, you see somebody's death, don't let us leave the mayat and go back as if. Let us see that one day it will be me there. I want that my soul is pure when it goes back. Okay, maal khazana, you know, we need it, we can't starve. But remembering that we are medium of this wealth for another person. When the needy, and you know, some of us, I mean, I'm not an expert in this, I'm not prophesying, and I'm sure there will be people who is. But correct me if I'm wrong, even going to Hajj, if you have a neighbor that is hungry, your Hajj is not kabul. If you have a daughter that is of marriageable age, you're not supposed to go to Hajj. But the fact that we are physically going to Hajj and coming back, and everybody says, oh, Haji ban kya hai. I have a beautiful poem here called The Wasted Pilgrimage by Pir Nasir Khisrau. It is amazing, and I would like you to share copies with anybody. Basically, this pilgrim comes back from Hajj, and Pir says to him, oh my goodness, you did this such a difficult journey. You know, you're talking hundreds of years ago. You saw the, you did the big pilgrimage, which is the Hajj. You did the small, which is the Umrah. And you know, when you went there, did you feel that you were cleaning all your sins when you were there? He says, no, I never thought about it like that. He says, when you threw the stones at the devil, did you realize, did you throw the stones inside of yourself and kill all your own demons of anger, jealousy, rage? No, I really didn't think about that. So the peer has written this poem and gone through every single action of the Hajj, very innocently asking the voyager, when you cut off your hair, did you think that all your past sins and now every hair that you cut off, that, you know, you will not now repeat those sins? I didn't even know that's why I was cutting my hair. So he goes through this whole poem and he finally, then he tells him, I'm so sorry to tell you, you've made this journey, it was so difficult and hazardous, you spent so much money, but it was wasted. Are we wasting our visit to Jamaat Khana every single day? It is really, it is quite possible that we are doing it. Did you feel the progress of self from purity to manliness when making you indifferent to heaven and hell? He says, when you ran from Safa to Marwa, did you feel that you were making the progress from self away from ego to purity? He says, no. No, he said. And when you had to leave the shrine, did your heart split in two with the agony of parting, and did you bury it in the holy place? And do you feel now like a decaying bone, which you're supposed to, what Hazrat Ali has said, die before you die. Kill your ego, kill your needs, kill your materialism. Did you feel that? Because that should have come to you when you did that. No, he said, for what you have just explained to me, I never knew before, right or wrong. Then my friend said, I, you have not performed the pilgrimage. You never reached the stage of self-annihilation. You went, you saw Mecca, and you returned, having purchased with silver the afflictions of desert travel. And if you perform the pilgrimage again, then act as I have indoctrinated you. For religious acts are null and void unless accompanied by corresponding movements of the heart. So movements of the body are not enough. Giving your money to Mukhi Sahib and standing there is not enough. Your heart has to move. Drinking the niyaz, saying I'm purifying myself, or even we say those words, but are we feeling them? Okay. So we've done concept of man in quite a lot of detail, yeah? And if you need a photocopy of this, I'm sure Chairman Sahib will make it available to you. If you need the poem, there's copies here for you. Now I'm coming to the third part. Akhira. Yeah, we've talked of Day of Judgment, yeah? Read today? No, I don't want what was read today. Thank you, I'll find it. Ah, here it is. This is it. It is important, Salvatpur, Allahumma, Sali Allah, Muhammad Anwar. It is important to look to the future and ask yourself, what have I created for the future generations of my family? But it is also important to ask, why did I give my time and effort for this? Was it for the purpose of establishing a sound base for my family, or was it for the objective of accumulation of wealth? If the notion has been accumulation of wealth, because that was the primary purpose, then that is not in keeping with the ethic of our faith. The accumulation of wealth is to protect and care for the family and the Jamaat. That which is in excess, then be generous with it. That is the ethic of our faith. The question is, not only what have I achieved, the question is, what have I helped others to achieve? That is the notion of social conscience in Islam, and it is important that my Jamaat, where it is working successfully, should keep in mind that judgments must be passed on your own success by yourselves. You must make those judgments, and you must ask those questions of yourselves. And if you ask them properly, then I think you will find the correct answers and you will be happy with the answers, because they will give you a sense of living daily within the ethic of the faith. sarvatra. Allahumma asaliyala. So he's talking of niyat. What was your niyat? You just want to collect wealth, or you want to secure your family with it, and then be generous with it. Okay? So very big, important point. Now, man, see, we are so multifaceted. We have got an intellect, we have the responsibility, we have potential. What does Imam Sultan Muhammad Shah say? Kitame, you can become like me, you can become like Peer Sadruddin, you can become like Peer Shams, you can become like Mansur al-Halaj. Tame amara jem thai sako. Imagine the Imam saying that. Which means our potential is totally anything and everything. Only if we understand that it is the soul that is supreme, that all this accumulation of wealth, all this power, all this position is going to be nothing. In the society that you live in, we live in, it is unfortunately that is being judged. But if we are to say that only the life of the soul is eternal, then what it is we need to do for the soul? It's so simple. We can earn money. And those of us who like to work hard and who are earning money, be generous with it. Because not everybody gets the opportunity. Not everybody is able. Sab ki taakat nahi hai, koi jiske naseeb mein hai. To wo paise agar dusron ko de, jo hamari family aur hamare liye enough rakhein aur dusron ko de, to wo automatically in log ki physical life mein kaam aayega, lekin aapki rohani life mein kaam aata hai. You know, there is a famous saying that you make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give. So if you make somebody's life, give them a chance. What did he say? Give them a beginning, give them a chance. So they may not coming knocking at your door. It's your duty to go and look for them. You may not find people saying please, because nowadays there is a stigma to say. Of course, there are certain people who are so helpless that they have to do it. But that there are others that you may hear that they cannot do it. It is for us to be aware of that and to do it as discreetly as possible. Because the wealth is only, you are only a medium of that wealth. You don't, and you know, you cannot accumulate it for 3 generations because you don't know what it will be worth or what it will buy or what it will do. So it is better ki apne ruh ko aage karne ke liye if it's as simple as that. And that is why you see how beautiful our community is set up. Hazri Mom is setting up hospitals. He's setting up schools. And he's giving us opportunities to help the needy. And we know that every penny we give to such places is going where it's given. A lot of the time, you know, people question, ki hum charity mein dete to pata nahin kitna ke kahin chale jata hai. Lekin at least we are sure that we are seeing something happen with the money we give. If you give it in the structures that Imam has set up. Now he's given 75 million to Afghanistan. Now, you know, those are the kinds of things, he's our role model. He does these things and he is saying that, look, this is, you know, even I'm doing this. Why? For those brothers and sisters who are so, so, so needy. And we know that they are around us all the time, everywhere. Okay, we talked of Day of Judgment, third part, yeah? So what is Akhirah? See, there's an interesting concept in Islam which says that this is not the only world we live in. There is another world we are going to. So for we are doing all this work for the world of the soul. So we are purifying ourselves because we want to return back to Him. So ye jo hai, jo akhira hai, so that is about life after life. Like, you know, when the child is in the mother's womb, that child is being nurtured for 9 months in another world. It has not come to this world yet. When it is born, then it comes in this world. It takes the first breath. Similarly, we are being nurtured for another world. But, you know, like Imam Sultan Muhammad Shah says in his Usul-e-Din Farman, कि वी फॉरगेट कि ये पिंजरा में हम बैठे हैं और हमको ऐसा लगता है इधर ही हम बैठने वाले और यही हमारी दुनिया है
लेकिन दोज पीपल हु आस्क द क्वेश्चन कि हम कहां से आए और हम कहां जाने वाले हैं, दोज आर द पीपल हु आर रियली हु अंडरस्टैंड द इम्पोर्टेंस एंड द वैल्यू ऑफ द सोल. सो इन आखिरा इट मीन्स दैट वी आर प्रिपेयरिंग फॉर द नेक्स्ट लाइफ, बट वी ओनली गेट द अपॉर्चुनिटी टू प्रिपेयर फॉर द नेक्स्ट लाइफ ड्यूरिंग दिस लाइफ. The material life may tend at times to shade or perhaps be blind to the reality of physical human life, which is that the only part of life which is indefinite, eternal, is the existence of the soul. The essential nature of life has not changed. It is a physical, limited in time notion. And the only part of the individual which is eternal is the soul. Never forget that. Do we forget that? Do we always forget that? So these are Nairobi 1997 Farmas. It is a physical, limited in time notion, and the only part of the individual which is eternal is the soul. Never forget that. Keep the ethics of the faith as the path by which you live your material lives. Do not wander in the material lives of every day, but keep to the ethical principles strong and clear, because that is the essence of life. So, going back, now the soul. Preparation for the life hereafter. Now, it's a bit intangible because nobody has really come back and told you what the life hereafter is. So, do we believe in it? We believe in it. Because, Hazrat Imam has told us, that your soul will live forever. Where is it going to live? It is going to live forever. Because it cannot die. It has taken birth in your body here. You can access it through purification of mind and purification of deeds. Amal, Niyat, and Ilm. Ilm and Amal is like two wings of a bird. If you try to only go through Ilm, that bird will not fly. If you try only to go through Amal, that bird will not fly. It's knowledge and action. Intellect and ethic. Now, keep to the ethic of your faith. Ethic is an overused word these days. Yeah. So, how far have we internalized that? That it is only our actions and our ethics which will purify our bodies and therefore our minds and release our souls. The more time we have to access our soul and purify it, the more likely we are creating this space for ourselves in the next world. And the less likely in this world we need to have lessons to purify ourselves. Because Imam has said, he does not want one soul to go back to him which is not pure. Okay, Chandrat Farman, we pray for the souls in Chandrat. Okay. We always, even for Ruhani, we are praying. Now, what is the Salwat? The meaning, Allahumma. We say it in the first part, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin al-Mustafa wa Aliin al-Murtaza. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin al-Mustafa. O Allah, shower thy blessings on Prophet Muhammad. Now, Prophet Muhammad needs Allah's blessings. He was pure. He was his messenger. He was his chosen one. So what we are doing is we are asking Allah to shower His blessings upon us through the Prophet and the Imam. Because the Imams are pure, they are chosen, they have ta'wil, they have been chosen by Nas. So oft we assume that we are praying for the Prophet and we are praying for the Imam. No. We are saying that shower your blessings through these people to us. So in other words, it's very subtle to understand that if you do something for somebody else, then you're doing it for yourself. You see, this is why amal in Islam is so important. We think that, you know, we're doing this for somebody else. But that person, okay, they will be grateful. They may not be grateful many a time. Alright? They may not be grateful. But once your niyat is established that I really wanted to help this person and you did it, already